الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eders.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي درود شریف علیه. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an is that Sahabi who had the privilege to accompany Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from a very young age, and therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with in-depth knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah. Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an was not only a great hafiz of the Quran but also a great mufassir of the Quran. He was the master of the Quran. He had this great passion to read the Quran and to understand the Quran, and also a lot of attachment with the Quran. This was the same with all of the Khulafa'i Rashideen, but with Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an, that period of time is great advantage in his case, that he grew up in the household of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and so he had the opportunity to witness all of the revelations. And that is why Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an himself would say, wallahi ma nazalat aya illa wa kad alimtu fima nazalat wa ayna nazalat wa ala man nazalat. He would say that every verse revealed to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have the full knowledge of it. I can tell you the reason and the purpose of its revelation, the location of its revelation, and for about whom the revelation was revealed to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he was an expert in the science of Quran. Many a times he would sit with a group of people around him and he would say, Saluni anil Quran. Ask me anything about the Quran. Ask me anything about the Quran. And he would say that I will tell you each and every verse. I can tell you the verses that were revealed to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the day and the verses that were revealed to him in the night. Allahu Akbar. And he says, wal jibal, and the verses that were revealed to him whilst Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on a mountain, on a journey. He was an expert in the Quran. Now some special traits and virtues, honor given to Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an in connection to the Quran. The Mufassireen have mentioned that there is one verse of Suratul Mujadala, and I have Suratul Mujadala open in front of me, which is the beginning chapter of the 28th para, Suratul Mujadala. And in Suratul Mujadala, there is one verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given an order, a general order to the people of Medina, in fact to the Ummah. And Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an is the only Sahabi to have acted upon that injunction, that command. And he himself has said, no one before me and no one after me has had the privilege and the honor to fulfill the command given to the Ummah. Now the reason for that is that there was this command and order and injunction that came upon the Ummah for a brief period of time, and thereafter it was cancelled and abrogated. And that is why you don't see other companions to have acted upon that command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But before we go into the explanation of this verse of Suratul Mujadala, what is also very important is that we have some background information of some of the verses of Suratul Mujadala which are actually connected to that incident for why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed this command, this verse upon the Ummah. So some of the background information and also very important etiquettes have been mentioned in Suratul Mujadala. In Madinatul Munawwara, the atmosphere was such that you had the Muslims, the Muhajireen, the Ansar, sincere Muslims, the Bedouins. You also had the hypocrites. In Makkah, you didn't have the hypocrites. In Makkah, you just had the Mushrikeen. But in Medina Munawwara, you had the Munafiqeen and the Jewish lobby, the Jewish people that were there. Munafiqeen and the Jews were the enemies of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Madinatul Munawwara was extremely busy, preoccupied day and night educating the Ummah, and he wanted to provide a quality life for the Muslimin in general. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was extremely busy. Now what the Munafiqeen would want to do is that at any opportunity given, just to spark up some kind of a fitna, a scandal, to spark up some disunity, discord amongst the Muslimin that are there, any opportunity given. So the Munafiqeen and the Jews, what they decided, of course, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to the people of Medina, not only was he Rasul, the Rasul of Allah, but for those who did not accept him as a Rasul, they had no choice but to even accept him as the king of the Arabian Peninsula. So anybody who saw Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam would have to stand up and greet Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That was his status and that was his honor. Anybody who saw him, he was so beautiful that they would stand up and greet him. Now the Munafiqeen did not like, of course, that status given to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so they decided that when we greet Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we should greet him very quickly, but with a slight twist of the tongue to distort some words in our pronunciation of the Islamic greeting. And so they would come in groups, the Munafiq. Now the Munafiqeen were those people who were pretending to be Muslims. So they would come and they would greet Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Jews would come and they would also greet Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. These were Jews who could speak the Arabic language. So they would quickly come and aliyazu billah, instead of saying assalamu alaykum, they would say assalamu alaykum. What would they say? Assalamu alaykum. Now you have to be very sharp and very quick to actually pick up the words of what they mean. And this was the policy. They maliciously engaged in unlawful activities, verbal abuse to even Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in any manner of giving trouble to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the companions could hardly notice the difference. That is how fast they would speak. And so they would come and say, Assalamu alaikum, Assalamu alaikum. That is why it is so important that when we greet someone, we say Assalamu alaikum, Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum, the alif lam on Assalamu alaikum, according to the grammar of the Arabic language, this alif lam is known as ma'rifa billam. Just like you have in nouns, common noun and a proper noun, a common noun and a proper noun. Similarly, in the Arabic language, if you want to make a common noun into a proper noun, you can insert alif lam. And so if you say kitabun, a kitab, that's a common noun, any kitab. But if you say al kitab, just like in the Quran, Allah says dhalikal kitab. So it's not any book. Allah is only referring to
the book which is the Quran. So Allah said, "Dhalikal Kitab." That is, subhanAllah, the magic of the Arabic language. So when you say Assalamu Alaikum, we must say it clearly. So you must say Assalamu Alaikum. That is why the Quran starts with Alif Lam. Doesn't it start with Alif Lam? How does it start?
Alif Lam.
No, before that in Surah Al-Fatiha also?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdu. And Alhamdu means that exclusive praise. What is it? Exclusive praise. And in Urdu, the tarjuma is tamam khubiya. Tamam khubiya. Not ta'rif. Perhaps the better word would be tamam khubiya. Sirf Allah ke liye. And so when you greet someone, you say Assalamu alaikum. So what they would do is they would pronounce the Alif Lam, but they would miss out the Lam that is there. And instead of saying Assalam, they would say Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu. Now in the Arabic language, Sam means death be to you. It is a word to curse someone, that may death be upon you. And Assalamu alaikum means may the protection of Allah be with you. Assalamu alaikum. Now they would come quickly and they couldn't even greet Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a proper way. Subhanallah. Who knows if they had even said Assalamu alaikum, perhaps Allah would have given them hidayat. It comes in the story of Asiya and Fir'aun, when the mother of Musa alaihi salam was instructed that put him in a basket and let Musa alayhi salam float in the river Nile. And the palace of Fir'aun was such that one side of the palace was touching the river Nile. And so he was outside walking, in one narration, with his wife Asiya, who was extremely beloved to Fir'aun. And from a distance, Fir'aun had sharp eyes. Fir'aun had sharp eyes. Hamari tarah chashme ki zarur nahi. Sharp eyes. And he looked at a basket floating and he said to the khuddams that were there, the people that worked for him, that immediately get that basket for me. And it is said that one of the servants quickly went and he looked what was inside the basket. And when he saw Musa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam was so handsome. The Quran says, وَأَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةً مِنِّي. Anybody who saw Musa alayhi salam would fall in love with him. And so this servant is saying, Allahu Akbar, what a beautiful child. And even you, Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are very beautiful, very handsome. Same thing with Yusuf alayhi salam. Remember when the people took him out and they said, oh, what a child. And they said, مَا هَذَا بَشَرَى. The women of Egypt said that. And they said, this ghulam is an extraordinary ghulam. Very, very handsome. Will get a lot of money. And so he looked and he said, what a handsome child. And in his heart also the love for Musa alayhi salam entered. And so he took Musa alayhi salam immediately first to subhanallah Asiya. And Asiya looked at Musa alayhi salam and looked at Fir'aun and said, Musa alayhi salam is my babe. Musa alayhi salam is my child. Remember, this man did not have any children. Well, Asiya did not have any children from Fir'aun anyway. So she said that I will take him as my child. La taqtuluhu. That, oh Fir'aun, you've killed so many children. At least spare one child. What will he do? What will he do? Subhanallah. When Allah wants to protect, Allah protects. What will he do? Asiya comes in the middle. And because of that love, even Fir'aun succumbed to the wife Asiya and said, okay, if this is what you want. And Mufassireen have mentioned that Asiya actually said that he will be the coolness of my eyes and your eyes. He will be the coolness of my eyes and your eyes. To that Fir'aun responded and he said, no Asiya. He will be the coolness of your eyes, but not my eyes. Now because Fir'aun disrespected a Nabi who was just a baby, it is said that Asiya was given Iman and he was deprived. Allahu Akbar. He was deprived that Asiya was given iman. Just by him saying that he is not the coolness of my eyes. Allahu Akbar. And imagine if the people of Medina, the hypocrites, if they would have accepted and if they had said Assalamu alaykum, possibly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have opened up the doors of Islam for them. But this was their attitude. Now Hazrat Aisha, who was very sharp, very young, very talented, and people who came at the house of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam for meetings, that was just a small room, and they would speak to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and she noticed that when they came in the house and they said assalamu alaykum aliyazu billah, just to explain, and she got angry. Immediately she understood and she said assalamu alaykum wa alaykum al-la'na wa ghadiba alaykum. Assalamu alaykum wa alaykum al-la'na wa ghadiba alaykum. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at Bibi Aisha and said, Aisha, don't be so harsh. So what she actually said, that death be to you, the la'nat of Allah be to you, and the anger of Allah be also on you, the curse of Allah be on you. So many words were used. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Allah's Nabi said, don't be so harsh in your words. And she said, Ya Rasulullah, did you not hear what they said to you? And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, but Aisha, did you not hear what I said to them? When they said assalamu alaykum to me, I said to them wa alaykum, and the same to you. And the same? One mas'ala. Anyone who is not a Muslim, and if he greets you, a lot of the people when they see you, they might say assalamu alaykum, assalamu alaykum, and they are non-Muslims, then you are not to say wa alaykum salam to them, you are just to say wa alaykum. What are you to say? Wa alaykum. Whether they like it or whether they don't like it, you should not complete your salam. You should only say wa alaykum, and that is the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then he said to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Aisha, don't you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our supplication against them, but Allah does not accept their supplication against us. And so this was enough for you to say wa alaykum. Again, we learn from this a very important moral that if you have an enemy in front of you, one should be very calm and well composed, and he should not get very angry very quickly and to retaliate in a way that thereafter he might feel bad or regret that what I have said was wrong. So that he must be very calm and well composed in good character and to think about what he says. Just like what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. Allah's Nabi retaliated but in a very sweet way. What did he say? Wa alaykum, also to you. Also to you. Subhanallah. I remember when Maulana Bahauddin Sahab was a good friend of mine. He was with Maulana Yusuf Mutala Sahab in Berry, where the Darul Ulum is. And back in the days, in early 1980s, things were quite rough in Berry at that time. Though now you have a massive group of Pakistanis that live there, and so mashallah, everything is okay now. But in the 80s and late 70s, it was quite difficult. And so what had happened is that Maulana Sahab was with Maulana Yusuf Mutala Sahab in Berry town, and a group of individuals, white individuals, youth, were very racist, and they started swearing at Maulana Bahauddin Sahab and Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Sahab. And Maulana Bahauddin Sahab said to me, I was getting so angry, I wanted to go to them and confront them and ask them for a fight. He was also quite young at that time. But Maulana Yusuf Sahab did not even notice them. He did not even notice them. And they were swearing. And Maulana Sahab said to him, Are bhai, choro. What did he say? Are bhai, choro. Leave them. And again, a man who is in complete control. But of course, we have to look at the circumstances of the situation. And so, when Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha responded, And then thereafter, a verse of the Quran was also revealed to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, generally informing the companions of how the kuffar in Medina would greet Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, وَإِذَا جَاءُوكَ حَيَّوكَ بِمَا لَمْ يُحَيِّكَ بِهِ اللَّهِ. And they come to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they greet you not in the way that has been taught to them to greet a Nabi of Allah to your status. And they twist the tongue and they slightly pronounce the words in a different way, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the complete knowledge. And when they would greet Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this manner, they would return back in their groups and they say, you see, we have actually said to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, death be to you, but no punishment has come to us. And they would say, لَوْلَا يُعَذِّبُونَ اللَّهِ. If Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a Nabi, then Allah would punish us. لَوْلَا يُعَذِّبُونَ اللَّهِ بِمَا نَكُولُ. For what we say, Allah is not punishing us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed the verses of the Quran. Never mind punishing you. Allah said, حَسْبُهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ. For you it is Jahannam. يَسْلَوْنَهَا. And every single individual who had uttered Assalamu alaykum will enter Jahannam. Allahu Akbar. Slight disrespect to a Nabi of Allah. That it is mentioned in the Quran, حَسْبُهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ. Ke tumhare liye Jahannam kafi. يَسْلَوْنَهَا. And you shall enter Jahannam. So this was the verbal abuse that came from some of the people who were in Madinatul Munawwara. This was the first incident. The second incident was that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Masjid Nabwi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sitting, and all of the companions were in the masjid. In fact, all of the rows were filled up and occupied, the sufuf were all filled up, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting close to the platform of As-Sufah. That is where the companions were, the students of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all of them were gathered in Masjid Nabwi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A few of the companions came late in the gathering of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these were special companions. These companions were Badri companions, the people who participated in the battle of Badr. And so when they came into the masjid, but they had no space in the masjid to sit. Now Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw that these are the elite, the most elite from amongst the companions, despite the fact that they have come late, but they have come to the masjid, but they are honorable people, honorable companions, who were with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when everyone else was an enemy of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so the 313 companions, and so when they entered, a group of them from the Badri companions, they entered, and there was no space for them. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the companions that, make space for your brothers who have come. Make space for your brothers who have come. And so some of the companions made space for the Badri companions. And where space was made for them, the companions sat down in the masjid in front of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But there was still a group of the companions who were standing. A group was still standing. Now when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed so many companions in the masjid and that these Badri companions are standing, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at a few companions and said, you stand up, you stand up, you stand up, and you stand up, and you stand up. Go back, let them take your position, let them take your spot, and let them take your space and sit there. Allahu Akbar. Now the munafiqeen took an objection to this, and rumors were circulated, and people were saying that, you see, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he favors certain companions of his and he deprives other companions. And so this was the rumor that was spreading in Madinatul Munawwara with the Jewish community and also the munafiqeen. And in fact the munafiqeen did not want to make space for the Badri companions also. They had come. And subhanallah, just like an incident that was happening, and this guy just can't stop texting me. Actually, this man could not take the fact that when I used to come for Fajr and I was at the back and I would come forward and sit in the front, so this would give him a lot of pain. this would give him a lot of pain, that why does the Maulana Sahab come aram se, and yet his space is reserved. Yet his space is reserved, and aram se he comes in the front. So this was the pain that he was suffering from. And another pain that he was suffering from was that when we had to reserve a space in the front saf for the Huffaz, an 85-year-old man Musa by a muazzin who's been a muazzin for a long time, and even that was not liked. And so he came up with fatwas and the conspiracies. You know, you'll find a jahil, and for a jahil to mix with other juhala, it's so easy. Oh, we've got fatwas that the mosque of Allah is, the house of Allah is for Allah, and there's no privilege for no one. And I don't wish to tell you what he does, but subhanallah al-azim, they seem to be so learned, and they fire a text at you, and this is this, and this is that. And so text was given that this Mufti Sahab has written this. I said, tell this Mufti Sahab that there's an Imam of Masjid Umar whose name is Muhammad, and this is what he does. He comes from the back and he comes and sits in the front as an Imam. Is that jais or is that not jais? Go and open up, because you see, when you speak to a Mufti, you have to open up completely. Open up completely. From this Ayati Kareema, Mufti Shafi Saab in his Ma'riful Quran has mentioned that we need to understand that not only in the masjid, but in any gatherings, for a common man who is just invited, he can come and he should find a space wherever there is a possibility. But those who are an authority figure, but those who are scholars, or those who are special people and connected to a function. So for an example, you have a jalsa, you have students that are praying, and so if the first serf is reserved, or if you have all of a sudden Shaykh al-Hadith, a great scholar who is sitting at the back, and the front serf has been occupied, and if you look at a great scholar at the back, and you give him izzat and honor, and you say, Hazrat, please come forward. In fact, that man who will return and who will go back will get double the sawab. We'll get double the sawab. Subhanallah. So you'll find a lot of people who don't have no understanding of masla, masail, and they will say, now this is not for a common man. We see that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam wanted to put in the hearts of the people there that even amongst you there are people who are known as privileged people. By shadi ke function mein jate hain, don't you find tables where it says reserve? Don't you?
Yes.
Mushtaq, when you go to your office, I'm sure there is one door where it says only the people who work can enter from this door. Huh? So, to ye imam ki office hai, kya hai?
Office.
This is the office. And Allah is my witness, my respected brothers, you have seen that when it is not the month of Ramadan, have you ever seen myself or Mauli Dawood that we fight to come in the front saf? You will find me praying in any place in the front or back saf.
Yes,
dekha?
No.
Every time. Only in the month of Ramadan, because in Fajr you have to do dars. And very kindly, you don't push nobody, but there are very good beloved brothers in the front saf who actually reserve a space for you. And this reservation for the Imam and the Huffaz and the Muazzin, it is completely jais. It is completely jais. Just like Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said. In fact, so much authority is given that if the imam, a senior imam, was to say to someone, "By Umar Farooq, or Farooq, Arif bhai, can you stand up, you three? By, go at the back. Let you people come here." They should take no offense to that. Because there's a reason for that. There is a reason for that. And so we need to understand these masail, my respected brothers. Subhanallah al-Azim. And we think that these masail have no meaning. They have a lot of meaning. They have a lot of meaning. It was only the hypocrites who objected to what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam did. That why did he remove certain members out? And he said that the Badri companions should come forward. Never ever, my respected brothers, annoy the ulama who are the varasatul anbiya unnecessarily. Never. A lesson, my respected brothers, just to tell you. I don't do it and nobody here should. Unnecessarily. But of course, if there is a reason for a person to debate, then subhanAllah, that is not a problem. And in Suratul Mujadala, because of what had happened and what the munafiqeen were saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a verse. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. O believers, إِذَا قِيلَ لَكُمْ, when it is said to you, تَفَصَّحُوا فِي الْمَجَالِسِ, make space in your majalis, in your gatherings, فَفْصَحُوا, then make space, يَفْصَحِ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ, if you make space in this dunya, Allah will make space for you in Jannah. يَفْصَحِ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ, Allah will make space for you in Jannah. So much so, that if there are some individuals who need to be sitting in the right position, then one should not take offense if somebody of an authority figure says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ انْشُزُوا, and if it is said to you, rise up, Allah is saying, فَانْشُزُوا, then rise up. You should not take an offense. Why? If you rise up, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only elevate your status. Only elevate your status. So understand the masail, my respected brothers. You will find that there are certain individuals who just have this hatred for the ulama. For what reason? Allah knows. Ek alim ko wo dekh hi nahi sakte. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the right understanding, my respected brothers. And so this was a second incident. Now going back to the issue of where Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an was given this privilege, and inshallah we will conclude the session. In Madinatul Munawwara, the third policy adopted by the munafiqeen to annoy and to trouble Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was that with the Muslims coming to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam who were genuine and sincere to ask him something, the munafiqeen decided that we should form groups and we should annoy Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam aliyazu billah to break his timetable and his schedule. And so what they decided is that they would come to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and they would say to him that we want a private meeting, a private council with you. Now Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam would say, "Theek, okay, maybe after Zuhr, a private meeting." And then another group would be waiting, "We also want a private meeting, a private meeting, and a private meeting." And for them this was just a joke, aliyazu billah, just a game. They were not sincere people. But just to disturb Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam from his mission. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam had the best character, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would give them private counsel and would talk to them. But of course in the heart this was something that was giving a lot of pain to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it also was disturbing the companions. What the munafiqeen would do is that when they would see the Muslims, the companions coming in the masjid, they would sit in groups and they would talk and whisper in the ears, and they would speak very quietly to one another as if there was some kind of a conspiracy that was about to take place. And so this was giving a lot of pain to the Muslimin and also to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presented the best solution for that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse of the Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. O people, if you want a private meeting with my Nabi, if you want a private meeting with my Nabi, إِذَا نَاجَيْتُمُ الرَّسُولِ فَقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ نَجْوَاكُمْ صَدَقًا, then you must give money in charity. SubhanAllah. Give money in charity, only then you can speak to my Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so now of course all of these people who were the masters of bluffing and aliyazu billah wasting time, precious time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when this ayat kareema was revealed, so every time the companions would go to them, "Oh, don't you want a private council? Do you want a meeting? Then we need some money for the poor people." And they say, "No, it's fine." And they would say, "No, it is fine." Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an says, now the price fixed at that time to talk to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was 1 dinar. What was it? Now, it's not dirham. Let's not make a mistake. Dirham was with everybody. But dinar means a gold coin. Dinar means a gold coin. So not everybody had dinars. Dirham was with everybody, but not dinar. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an says that when this ayat kareema was revealed, that if you want to speak to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then you must give one dinar. Hazrat Ali says that, what a good opportunity, I put my hands in my pocket and I took out one dinar. And I had one dinar. And just to make amal, act upon this ayat kareema, I gave this one dinar in charity, and I said to my Nabi that I have given charity one dinar and I want to speak to you just a private meeting. And so Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an was in a private meeting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ulama have mentioned that it was only Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an who acted upon this ayat kareema. He was the only man who had given charity one dinar, and he spoke privately with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And thereafter no one did this, because this ayat kareema was later cancelled and abrogated. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an says that there is one verse in Suratul Mujadala that none from the companions has acted upon it except for Ali. And nobody will. And this is again great virtue and status of the son-in-law of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammadin nabiyil ummi wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Sami'na wa ata'na gufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.